something I've dreamed of for a long time, and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible, and it's just every shooter's dream, and you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
It's medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mental, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.
It's Andy, welcome to an extra episode of The Netball Show with Mizuno. And the BBC's Nicky Price has been speaking to the world's best netballer, Juva Mental.
Oh, it was an absolute blur for me. It was a whirlwind from that final whistle that went when we won Commonwealth Games gold. We broke history. We'd been transported to the beach where there was media coming from every aspect, I think even out of the sea as well. It was absolutely exhilarating. And I think thinking about it now, it gives me tingles, and you can just hear in my voice. I still get so excited about that moment, and the moment will stay with me forever.
I do remember you all just emerging on the beach with your gold medals and absolutely beaming because you'd come straight from the podium, hadn't you?
Literally. We hadn't showered, but our smiles were beaming, correct. And I think it was just, we couldn't believe what we'd just done. It actually hadn't sunk in yet. And I think the realisation of it took a little while to take. But wow, what an achievement we managed to do as a team and for the country too.
Yeah, you're preparing for your fifth World Cup now, a home World Cup in Liverpool, just a few days away now. What's the build-up been like for you? Because I know you're playing in Australia, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been slightly unusual. So I've been based out in Australia for the last sort of 9 months through pre-season, and I'm actually halfway through our professional domestic league out there. And I've literally touched down this week, and we're in camp for a few weeks before World Cup hits. And it's been a bit of a whirlwind tour, not just with playing. I'm studying as well. And yeah, and I've written a book on the side of that as well, called Leap.
Yeah, of course. Touching down in the UK and telling everybody about your book goes right back to the start of your career. Did you always play netball? I pretty much have always played netball. I remember, you know, back at primary school playing. What about you? When did it start for you?
Yeah, it's quite funny. I think I'd talk about that in my first chapter. And I actually say netball found me rather than I found it. And it's so true. I mean, I'm from a very sporting family. My mum was from a long line of tennis players. My dad was multi-sports. I lived on the south coast of England, Bournemouth. So we had the beach, we had kayaking, sailing. And yeah, netball was one of those sports that I've never really sort of turned or blinked an eye at until I got to school and my friends played it. And one thing led to another with being able to not only hang out with them, but then finding that this was a great sport to compete at. And I haven't looked back since.
Well, no, because you were playing for your country by the age of 15. How quickly did you move up through the ranks?
Extremely quickly. So I played 1 year with the under 17 England side at 14 and was scouted to play for the senior side, and sat a few years learning amongst the England senior team, and got my first cap in 2001 at the age of 17. It's exciting to think what I've been able to do, and I haven't been able to do it alone. And yeah, and I speak about that in the book, in terms of being able to ride those highs and lows and the challenges that come with it.
What kind of challenges did you face in the career, and which ones have you sort of focused on in the book?
Yeah, I think for me, it's going through sport and whether it's deselection, whether it's not making a team, whether it's injuries, whether it's actually having to uproot my life and move to another country to be able to challenge myself and play in the best league in the world. I think they're all the different things that sort of make you stronger. And for me, I'm a firm believer of being able to sort of step outside the box and do something slightly different, because you never know whether it's going to work out or not. And I think that's why I've named the book Leap, because I've had to take those leaps throughout my life, and sometimes it's been a bit of a leap of faith.
And did you feel at that point when you moved to Australia you had to do that to develop your game?
Yeah, it was definitely a pivotal time, and it probably worked out right with me in terms of I just sort of completed my A-levels, and there was an opportunity where they were setting up this brand new professional league in Australia, and I wanted to go out there and experience something different. And from a upbringing where my mum sort of introduced me to different cultures and travel, and so the whole sort of package excited me, and I think that's what I kind of speak about throughout the book. It isn't just about netball, it's about the different people I meet, the different journeys I go on, not just the highs and lows and challenges, but the lessons I've learned from all of that. that.
I went to Australia last year. When I was there, I was talking to farmers in Bathurst in central New South Wales. They knew all the players in their local teams in Sydney. You know, the sport is talked about so much in Australia. How far ahead is the game there? You know, you're playing in the league there. And what does England need to do to catch up?
England, unfortunately, is probably definitely a few years behind. But the good thing is it's moving in the right direction. And I've played for sort of many teams in the UK. And I actually played for Gloucester and represented Hucklecoat Club as well. And so I've seen that netball is strongly invested in and played in the UK. And I think it's just about getting that recognition out there now and people being able to showcase the sport more so, particularly at that elite level, because so many of the girls that I'm involved with, they're great role models and they're really leading that way. And I think that's where Australia and the Southern Hemisphere have done it so well. And I think what we managed to achieve with the England Roses last year sets us up. But for us, it's about leaving a legacy and making sure that this World Cup as well, we showcase the sport as much as we can. We've got the top nations coming to play.
It's a big chance, isn't it? Australia, the obvious rivals, but a lot of people talking about Jamaica too.
Yeah, so yeah, we've obviously got Australia and New Zealand up there, but Jamaica and even South Africa are hot on our heels, and we've had some defeats against them over the last sort of recent years. So it makes for such a tough competition. You've got the 16 top nations in the world coming across, and obviously we've got UK-based teams represented well with England, Wales, and it's going to be a fantastic tournament. I'm really looking forward to taking part.
Diva's book, Leap, is available now in all good bookshops and online as well. And we've also got a link at thenetballshow.co.uk.
It's something I've dreamed of for a long time, and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible, and it's just every shooter's dream, and, you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
It's medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.